Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Built and Brewed podcast. This show is a behind-the-scenes look at building a brewery from the ground up and attempts to figure out why anyone would ever do this. Every episode covers a step in the process and all the details that go along with it. If you're a craft beer enthusiast or looking to open up a brewery yourself, you're in the right place. Enjoy your host, Preston Andrini, founder of Red Engine Brewing Company, as he interviews craft beer professionals and consultants that have helped him along the way.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Episode 10. Big landmark here. Episode 10.
Woo!
Our guest today is Todd Parker. Todd is a mindset and communication coach. His company is called The Mindset Studio. Todd, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Todd is the reason that the podcast exists. he started a podcast with his company. And it's called The Right Question.
Right Questions Podcast, yep.
And, you know, he had some good success with it, some stories that he was sharing with me. And I was like, man, that's another tool we could use to, like, connect with people and even, like, learn new things. And
express yourself.
Yeah, and let people get to know you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So here it is. Built and Brewed was put into play. This is our 10th episode. And
proud of you, buddy. 10 episodes is a big milestone. I know it's like 10 hours of content, 10 hours of way more than 10 hours of work. So, you know, good job.
Yeah, I find it to be 1 to 3, like 3 hours of back work for every 1 hour, like, you know, final product.
It's like anything. It gets easier and you get a flow to it. You get a process going and it streamlines.
Yeah, so, which is going to segue into streamline, like this is one of the things we're trying to achieve with the topic today, which is mindset and communication as an entrepreneur. And these are some of the things we're going to talk about today. I'm getting help from Todd as a client to kind of get better at. They're kind of like weaknesses I've identified in my game, and we've talked about these like epic wins and like just tragedy fails, like with entrepreneurship. And, you know, through those fails, like you better have some takeaways.
Yeah. Yeah. And you better take some time to figure out what worked and what didn't, time to debrief, time to reflect, time to do all that. So, yeah.
And the way you might do that is with maybe some professional help and coaching. And so,
absolutely.
So, we're going to talk today about our journey a little bit, where kind of Todd intersected and started, you know, kind of gracing us with some knowledge and holding us accountable and all things we'll discuss and what it's done for like the project in general. So Todd, why don't you start us off with sharing a little bit about what, like the products that you share and the coaching that you give, and what is a mindset and communication coach?
Oh yeah. Like, so I say mindset and communication coach because everything happens through first the mind, right? How we think about it. And then our communication follows, our behaviors follow, right? So everything that we're trying to achieve, the way we think about it, and then when we go after it, whether it be the way we communicate or the actions we take to go get it, it's what controls everything. So, you know, I say I help people identify, interrupt, and ultimately transcend limiting beliefs and behaviors that prevent personal and professional success, right? Because
You don't want to get in your own way, right?
Well,
seems to be the problem here.
You know, certainly there's a lot of there's barriers, there's challenges unto the person in the situation, be it personal, professional, right? If you're trying to build a business, if you're trying to rise in a company, if you're trying to have a better relationship with your parents or your partner or your kids, right? Or your boss, what have you. All of those have specific constraints. They call for different expectations about how you communicate. And so first, you know, much of the work I do is about being, and I use this word all the time, being intentional with how you go about those different things that mean so much to you. And that means how you manage yourself in the process. So yeah, that's how we transcend ultimately as part of the
change, right?
And get more comfortable with changing. Yeah.
What types of people, what are some of your client backgrounds? Like, well, what types of people are using
the services that we offer, right? A lot of what I do is executive, like leadership coaching, you know, clients like, you know, not under an NDA, right? So Google, I've done a lot of work with managers at Google and teams at Google. We do work in the private sector, public sector, as well with a lot of colleges, so like a lot of the Cal State colleges I mm-hmm. work with, and the different departments within them, right? And so these are big departments, admissions and records, right?
Oh, lots of people in there.
Lots of people, and there's lots of constraints that are different, right? Unions add things, constraints, right? Mm-hmm. But highly stratified companies versus, you know, the private sector as well, like nonprofits and Alliance for Children's Rights. But so we offer a couple of different services, coaching for leadership and, you know, the C-suite and executives and whatnot, team trainings and workshops all around professional development. And then I have another part of my business that you know a little bit about, but is working with about 15 to 25-year-olds on executive function skills. So that's, you know, organization, planning, accountability, responsibility, time management, okay, confidence, public speaking, all that stuff, which, you know, I teach as well. So I'm also a teacher at Cal State University Northridge once a week because I still love teaching.
There you go.
Yeah.
So all those things for the kit or that younger group is kind of geared towards like launching.
Yeah,
like
it's still leadership. It's all leadership skills. And yeah, a lot of it, you know, why I do what I do, my Uncle Joe, Joseph McClendon III, right? One of the top mindset, you know, motivational coaches on the planet. He did this for me, right?
You had been telling me about it. By the way, a little backstory on Todd and I.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We didn't get,
we kind of know each other.
So we've known each other since like seventh grade.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've known Joe too, since basically that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of heard about Todd getting coached and et cetera. So,
man, okay, I just gotta take it aside.
30 years later.
Hey, so real quick, and maybe some of your listeners will appreciate this. Is yeah, we've known each other, what, 30, you know, well, we're not that old, so what?
40.
Yeah. Okay. So
almost 30 years.
So Archer, so I have a blended family, and you know, so my stepson Archer is he just started seventh grade. And I've been thinking about you.
Life,
I'm like, oh man, I'm at Preston, I'm at Garrett, like, you know, and I've been telling him the stories about what we did, mm-hmm. Which we won't tell on air, but just, you know, they were appropriate, but
yeah,
how we chased after girls.
Everything
school
really?
Dance. He's got a school dance this week. Oh my God. So, you know, and just to steer it back to what we do here, like that, the leadership skills needed. I have a family of five. So there's seven of us total. And I got three dogs as well. The leadership stuff that I talk about mm-hmm. and work on with people every day of my life are things that I have to practice every single day of my life. So everything that I'm sharing, I'm also putting into practice. And it's part of why I just love my job, because every day is a constant reminder of the things that I need to do to help me be more successful, more present, more open to change, more comfortable with change, more open to the unknown, and to take risks both with myself and my family, for my clients, to like figure out what's possible out there, you know, and frame things as opportunities rather than as anything else.
I like it.
Yeah.
So like, that's a good transition of some of the emotions mm-hmm. or things that were going on with our project at Red Engine Brewing
Let's
Company.
Let's talk about you, man.
Yeah. And so we're going to kind of share, I think this story might be something that other people relate to who are definitely opening a brewery or maybe a cidery or winery or something, you know, something in this is a similar space.
Yeah.
Or just chasing after some work for yourself, entrepreneurial goal, like in general.
Yeah.
And the story starts with just drowning, basically. It's like, how come it didn't get in perspective until I was underwater, you know? And it was like, oh, there's that, you know,
like, glass. Why don't you reach out for help until you're completely drowning?
Yeah.
Why don't you answer that question?
So I don't think that you realize that's what I'm saying. It's like putting on glasses. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be underwater to have that lens to see there's trouble. Like, yeah. You know, like,
well, that's self-awareness, right? Like it's situational and self-awareness, and then the courage to go, holy crap,
I gotta do something. Yeah, you don't want to die, right? Or you know, but in the man, drowning.
Don't
scenario.
We do that all through our lives? Like, we don't know if we should ask for help in high school, like with our teachers, and like, oh, I'm supposed to know. Oh, we don't reach out for help when we're struggling with our spouse. Like, oh, we're supposed to know how to do this. Or when you have a kid and you're like, what do I do with this thing? Right? All those times, like, you're supposed to know. Like, no, just like you and an entrepreneur, you don't know.
You don't know everything. And one of the to kind of elaborate on that. I started reading a book or a couple books when I was in the Brewers Association. If you're not a member, great resource, obviously, for anybody who home brews or is professionally brews or owns a brewery, you got a membership. But they have a whole bunch of book offerings. You know, people have written on the subject, different subjects from the science of brewing science all the way to just like entrepreneurship or brewery finance, et cetera. So one of the books is, you know, how to open a brewery. I'm like, oh, this is, here it is. Here's the roadmap for what I need.
It's right in the book. Yeah, it's right there in the book.
I'll just read the book and it'll happen.
Boom.
So it turns out each of these, you know, chapters are like 6 months or more
of life.
Of lifetime. Yes. Yeah. So you
read lived experience.
Yeah.
That's where we say the territory is not the map. It's like if you're driving to Vegas, mm-hmm. driving to Vegas and looking at it on a map are two different things, right?
Yeah, there's all you see more. Yeah. On the map.
All the things. But you see very little on the map when you actually drive the freaking route, right? If you actually live the experience of an entrepreneur, you go, holy crap, that chapter was like 6 to 8 months of lived experience.
Right. So I think what happened to us, I started becoming like a little overloaded, stressed. There were you know, too many irons in the fire.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was failing. I was starting to like take steps back, right? So I'm losing confidence in the project. I feel like I'm losing control, like immediately, like things I, you know, have my arm reach that I control. You know, I feel like I'm losing it. And I got a regular job and a family, so I mean that's enough. So.
Can I just ask something?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're feeling, as you just said, like you're failing. And like you're out of control, which is a mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It's thoughts. It's creating
right,
a
yeah,
mindset.
You start telling yourself terrible things.
How do you communicate? How did you communicate?
Well, I probably just yelled at everybody. Ask Elizabeth.
Right. And you have an important job. You have a team that counts on you. And then you've got a family as well. Another very incredibly most important team that counts on you.
So a lot of pressure.
And so the communication, like all of us, it's not an indictment of you. It's like all of us, we get to a point where we're cracking. And if we don't do something, it comes out on all the important places in our life, personally and professionally.
Right. And it's not as good.
Yeah.
It's not as good.
Yeah.
So I kind of reach out. And by the way, I've been talking to Todd about doing a podcast, et cetera. And so I'm listening to his and I'm like, you know, Todd's talking about all these things that, like, I'm kind of some of the things I can relate to personally.
Yeah.
And, like, why don't I reach out to him? You know, why don't I, like, see what he has to offer professionally? So we do that. And, one of the really funny things that, I get to Todd's house. I'm like, all right, I'm about to get, you know, these pearls.
Were you nervous?
I don't remember. I don't think I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, I'm ready for the answer. You know, the answer. Like, as if it's just one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Todd, you know, he sits down. He's like, yeah, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's on your mind, you know? And, one of the first things he says to me, like, in the first 10 minutes of, you know, being under counsel, he's like, have you thought about asking for help? like Jesus, man, is that where my mind's at? Like the sad, like how sad?
Yeah,
I couldn't even ask for help,
right?
And so it wasn't until a little while that, you know, that question came out. But we were looking to hire help, it really in any area, and it was like, how come I've not asked for help?
Right.
Like the first step.
Right, right.
And what do you, like, that's a little bit of my story, but what are some client, like, is it a similar thing or other people kind of?
You get inside it, right? And that's about perspective. And so much of mindset and communication, so much of the work is to that I do with clients that we did together is to rise out of the minutia, like to rise above it, mm-hmm. and not be inside it. Right. That's the first step.
In the weeds.
Get outside of it so that you can be more objective. And so what we're developing is, I always say, you know, greater emotional intelligence, but like just, which is part of emotional intelligence, much higher self-awareness, right? When our stress levels go up, that's when our self-awareness has to go up. Because we have to realize, and that's the work you and I do. When you ask me, what do we do? Is that true for other people? Yeah, it's true for all of us. It's true for all. It could be true for us in our personal life with no job. You know, as the stress level goes up, we're dropping kids off at this and that. We've got to get all these things done, right? Because I do those things too. I have to become even more self-aware because, as I just said to you in the question I posed, like, how did you communicate when was in that place?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's not good.
Yeah, you say, and
it's
so that's
never good.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I start experiencing like couple fails.
Yeah,
you know, like in simple things, like just like communicating with my maybe it's not as simple, but like just communicating with your partner at home.
Yeah.
About regular day to days, like, hey, who's going to handle dinner? You know, which, well, in my house, it might be a little different priority. But like when I wake up in the morning, I need to know what we're doing for dinner. But that means
right before I came here, Rebecca and I talked about dinner for two or three nights in a row. She wanted to make a plan. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like when I can't talk about what's for dinner and not get into an argument, it's like, okay, something's clearly wrong here. I don't know what it is.
Getting overwhelmed.
Yeah. And so that's kind of. So in our story, becoming overwhelmed, because a lot of the material that we're learning as entrepreneurs or opening your own business, you're probably learning for the first time. Mm-hmm. Might be like accounting, it might be real estate, financing.
What did you come away after that first session? Since we're talking about like what this is, you can share. What did you do?
Well, so what? One of the problems I came to Todd with was just that, like, hey, I'm having trouble with my wife,
right?
And her also being a huge part of our company.
Yep.
So I'm working with her, and I'm parenting with her, and you know, the whole thing, right?
Every single thing.
Living with her.
Yeah.
And
don't forget that.
Yeah. So. You know, for people developing like a side hustle, sometimes in the beginning of that life that you're, you know, that side hustle that you're trying to create, in this case, it's a brewery, your spouse might be the only person that knows about it.
Yep.
For the first however long, you know, you just keep it between you and them.
They help. They take over parts of the project.
Yeah, they might. They're definitely going to have something to say about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So
whether you asked or not.
Yeah. and they're like, this is something that you're going to have to, you know, communicate with somebody, you know, who has a real, it's not like you have one vote and they have one vote. It's a little more valuable than that. Like their say on it, you know, you want them to be proud of you. You want to, mm-hmm. do them right. You want
to
like.
Well, and you also have to balance that life can't, and it's, I think I remember you and I talking about this, life cannot, there has to be separation. It can't only be, for instance, in this case, about the brewery all the time if there's no separation.
Yeah, because you're at this time, it's like kind of like hobby-esque. So my spouse was like, okay, I'm pretty done hearing about something that's not real, which is like... I mean, good for her. Like, we found the boundary. Like, okay, when it's real, we'll talk about it. And, you know, so that deal. So one of the things Todd, you know, mentioned is, you're talking about the brewery a lot. Maybe, you know, she needs to have some attention put on things, you know, before the brewery or, you know, the other things in your life that she's involved with. And
things that are important,
given the credit and gratitude to those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, why don't you try that, Preston?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good idea. Let me write this down.
Appreciation.
G-R, right. Yeah. I go home. I start applying it. It's like this shit's magic. This is like this just changed. Now the lines, like there's no static on the line.
Nice, you know, metaphor, yeah.
Yeah, and like we can like really get the messages sent and received, and how that like injected or probably just reclaimed the energy that we have been wasting, you know what I mean? Well, Kristen, and that's like developing stress.
I'm going to cut you off.
So we, I've told you this, and I work to take it outside of your situation, brewery, into like, you know, workshops I was doing all across the summer, right? Like people I'm working with, people I'm coaching. We all, like, unless you're kind of off, which most people aren't, and I mean that with a lot of love, most people, pretty much everyone that I'm with, want to be in really good standing with all the people around them. They want to be in good standing with their spouse. They want to be in good standing with their boss, with their employees, with their colleagues, right? We're not.
That's how kind of like a natural programming.
Yeah. Like we're trying pleasers. To be good. Like, it's not that we're just do anything. It's not about being a pushover or something or being walked on. It's saying like, our default is to want to be in good standing with people. And I think if you ask anyone, like I do, they say, yeah, I want to do well. I want to be a good boy. I want to be a good girl. I want to do well.
Right.
That's the little kid in us wanting praise. So when we think, and when we think in terms of that, just like you want to know you're doing well. You want feedback. You want to be appreciated and you want to be have someone show gratitude. When we do that in our interpersonal relationships, which is what we're talking about here, you and your spouse, a leader and their colleagues, a leader and their staff and their employees, right? All of that is, you know, what kind of communication climate do you create? You just said static on the line. That's like, I'll give it a little theory here, right? But what's the climate that you create? If we go back to mindset and communication, when you said feeling like I'm failing and losing control versus right. when you're in a place of gratitude and appreciation.
It's right? better.
You can't, and this goes to the work. I'm going to, you know, take it a step further, Preston. Like, you know, I'm big on morning routine. It's, you know, I'm certainly not the only person to talk about morning routine. There's tons of research and books and, you know, countless books and self-help, all the stuff about morning routines. But that, it becomes even more important when I say when your stress level goes up, your self-awareness has to go up to go like, hey, do I have something that holds me down, like an anchor in the morning, some routine that gets me right? And it's even more challenging for you given your schedule and the job you have, right? For most people, they don't have your schedule, so it was even more challenging for you. But for most people, they have a pretty, you know, they can get up and carve out 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, at least 20 minutes to do, and I'm coming back to it now, gratitude and appreciation as a morning routine and project and something that sets your mindset in a way that has you communicating then, which is how we get everything done in the ways that make the thing happen, make the brewery get built, make the team get assembled, make the team work hard to get the brewery fit, right? All yeah, the different things and family as well. Yeah.
So that was kind of one of the, I think that story is probably pretty familiar to, you know, people trying to make their side hustle go pro or, you know, whatever. You have a spouse here, and, you know, if you need help talking to that person, that they might be the make or break, you know, deal. Absolutely. Early on, yeah. You know, in this whole thing. So if it's not going good there, and this was one of the things that was in this book that I read in the beginning, it was like, hey, make sure everybody's on board with this because it's going to be a little rocky. Yeah. And, you know, you need to have your finances. Obviously, that's just kind of a mandatory item. Those have to be in line to a certain extent. Your home life got to be in line to a certain extent. You know, your current career, you know, things have to kind of like, don't take this on if you have a bunch of other shit going on, because it's too much. It's going to overload you. You're going to end up here. And you're going to be asking for some assistance.
You know, that's. When you talk about needing the support of your partner, right, and them being the only one that knows about it, I have a small business, my partner helps me all the time. She takes on projects to do for the business, and she, you know, we've talked about and have had to work out how to communicate around work projects because they're different than home life. And we work really well together. But like she shared with me the other day when you talk about no static in the lines, open lines of communication, she's like, you know, it's different. This was like a month or two ago. She said, it's different with work stuff because I'm afraid. I'm like, what do you mean you're afraid? She's like, I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. And like, that's business stuff that I'm messing up. It's not like,
it matters,
you know,
to her.
Yeah, it matters.
If she does it right or not.
Like, oh, yeah. No, like, so there's that's her story. And, but once she shared the fear and a leader and someone, who, you know, your direct report and employee to say, oh no, you know, that's not what's going on here. That's not going to happen, and make it safe, which is a huge part of the work I do with leaders, right? Make it, and that we're working on, right? How do we make it safe? And when you talk about the brewery, how do we make it safe for everybody to thrive?
Yeah, like create that that vibe or attitude where, you know, like efforts encouraged and mistakes are going to be made, you know, like let's just push through.
That's a culture that you engender, that you create.
Don't hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask for help. I tell like guys I work with who are new to the fire service all the time, like, hey, ask for help early and often. Because we don't, in the fire service, we don't wait for it to be a big deal to call for help. It's a blitz every play. We show up every time overprepared, there too quickly with too many people, right. But we get W's all the time. You know what I mean? Like very rarely does the fire service lose at whatever their objectives are, and it's because they're prepared. They come at it.
Can I make a comment? You said like I said earlier, like we don't know exactly what we're doing, and then you said we don't ask for help till it's almost not it's too late, but like till we're really struggling, right? And you know, as a parallel or a metaphor, it's like if we go to the gym, which, and I think exercise is a fantastic example metaphor for most things, but if we go to the gym, I didn't just start working out. I hired a trainer, right? Why do gyms give you a trainer when you sign up? Like you can have a couple of free sessions with a trainer because the more comfortable you are with the space and how to operate and the processes and right, then you can thrive.
Right.
Right. And
get
so
the foundation.
That we do that at the gym. You have GPS to find out where you're going and it gives you the route. But like, you know, when you think about an entrepreneurial journey, there's no direct line, there's no direct route, but there are best practices for how to navigate. And so first thing that you were dealing with when you came in was like, hey, I got to work this out with my spouse first and foremost. I got to get my home life right and get this thing balanced. And then you did. You went home. You started working on you thought about a different mindset. And then you communicated and did the behaviors, took actions to change what was happening. And your environment, you know, your wife, your kid, the environment reflected back to you those changes you make. Because we control things by controlling ourselves. Or at least we give ourselves a chance at influencing others in situations the better we control ourselves. And that's what you started doing. You made intentional choices.
Right.
Then what did you do?
Then, so that started going good. So, naturally I just, you know, filled up the calendar with all the available space. I was burning on just being in a fight or in a terrible mood.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Started filling it up with other shit, right? Energy. Yeah. So I got, the next thing, you know, the ask for help, kind of question kind of continued. And, we were a little ahead of ourselves, but the process was still like valuable. But it was, hey, we need to hire somebody. And the position we were going to be looking for was a tap room manager position. And so I'm like, okay, this is great. I want to bring somebody in early who's going to know a lot of the inner workings of the facility and, you know, be on the same page as me. And instead of me knowing everything about the subject, another person would know just as much and be able to do trainings and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm thinking this is a great idea. We want to bring somebody on part-time. So Todd's like, well, what do you want this person, you know, to look like their characteristics? What type of attitude? How do you want them to communicate?
What are your company values? What's your mission? Right. And you started going, oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew exactly who I wanted after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we go through this exercise that Todd, you know, kind of hosts, and basically he's asking me all these things that are going to like contribute to the success of our communication and our accomplishments and working together. So I want to find somebody obviously that I jive with, but how do you find that person? So then we dive into it a little deeper, and it's like, well, we need to obviously have some interviews. We need to advertise for this. What are the questions? How are you going to, you know, set up questions in the interview that are going to bring out these traits? And he gives me basically a homework assignment with that. Mm-hmm. So I go home, and over a couple of weeks, you know, I come up with, you know, 7 to 10 questions that are geared towards these values or characteristics that this person in the universe may have. Mm-hmm. And so that took a bunch of like, you know, time and mind power. I was just burning on this like item that we needed to accomplish, you know, for our growth and or for the project's like progression. And you know working through it with somebody was like, you know, super valuable. Now I'm all freed up again.
Yeah, you spend, you know, you carved out, cuz like you're the one that schedules the sessions, right? Like you carve out an hour of time because it's hard to carve that hour out for yourself. So you schedule it, right? And you go, okay, I'm going to spend that hour focused on this. That's what my clients do. And then they come and often do things that they've struggled to work through on their own, personally or professionally. And we, to that point, come away with not just a clear understanding of the thing we're trying to do, but then action items, right? That at the end of every session we
very
have,
valuable.
Man,
yeah, it's I just, to
okay, last 10 minutes, all this talk is for nothing if we don't do something now. And so often, and this is the other value of coaching, we think shit through all the time in our inside, internally. We may even write it down, which is what I got you to do a lot of as well, right? Like put
things. Yeah, now this binder, it's like,
yeah.
If I lose my binder right now.
I have that remarkable too, you know, that it's like my whole life in it, right? Like, mm-hmm. But you got to purge that stuff out. Often if you're like a visual person, likes to see things on, you know, on paper, right? It kind of play with them like a puzzle. I like to do that. A lot of my clients like to do that. You start to get a sense of what it is because it's burning energy inside your brain, but you don't actually act on a lot of it. You have all these thoughts and then you forget them. You're like, oh, what was I going to do? Or when you sit down, talk it out with someone, get an objective opinion, they fire all these questions at you like I did, you walked away with that with not just a clear understanding, but a whole bunch of action items.
Yeah, it's just a roadmap to-do list, purposeful, you know, and Todd and I would put timelines on them. Hey, yeah. Email me in 2 weeks when you did this.
It's deadlines, it's expectations, and then follow through. And by the way,
yeah,
it's also in coaching, you're learning how to be a coach for your employees, which is what all leaders ultimately, I would argue, need to learn to do if they want their things to thrive and their business to thrive and their teams to thrive.
I think that's kind of a good transition. One of the things I wanted to share, one of the experiences I wanted to share is it seems like when you get into a new journey or you're opening a business in this scenario and you're kind of, you know, you're blazing the trail. Mm-hmm. It's you at the front of whatever you're trying to make. And eventually people start kind of filing in.
Yeah.
But for a long time, you're there at the front by yourself. It's lonely. There's nobody calling you, making sure that you did X, Y, and Z that day, or that week, or that month for that matter. You could shelve stuff forever and no one's calling to see if there's anything due. So these action items and these dates were really valuable for even the rest of the project, because stuff was starting to get written down, timeline, had to carve out time to do it, you know, had to encourage me to manage my schedule, mm-hmm. communicate that with the people who need to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I'm ultimately getting to is being a boss. And that's not like, you know, it sounds like cocky to say it like that, but when you're lonely and you don't have the confidence and you're not even sure if you have like the airspace to speak up on a matter, you know, with people that you're interacting with or who are in charge of certain aspects of your project, like how you communicate with them. Are you communicating with them as a client, as a project manager, as a boss, as all of them.
Right.
And like how the conversation tones and stuff need to change, like to get the most out of people. Well,
the first thing I hear you talking about is when you say being a boss, I just hear you in so many words saying hold yourself accountable. Right? Like there.
It's not cocky. It's like, yeah, it sounds cocky, but it's not.
Well, you said it's lonely. I wrote down, there's no oversight. There's no real deadline. Right. I'm just taking some notes over here is what you're saying, because, you know, we do a little coaching even in the process. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if that's the case, then being a boss means holding yourself accountable because no one else is going to. And the thing, in this case, the brewery, but the thing, the business, the goal is never going to get done, because the only person, the boss, right, the only person who controls that outcome is you. Once you fucking realize that, and I use that, I cursed, right? Like, I say, bleep me. I don't know. Is this a cliche?
I don't know.
But I say it like that because once you realize that, it's incredibly liberating.
And you just start shot calling after that.
And boom, what it boom, does, boom. And what the other part you're talking about, it's just what we all deal with. I could tell you countless stories when I felt this way. It's why there's an actual name for it, is you're talking about imposter syndrome, right? We have a phrase for it. Right? You don't think you belong. You don't. So when you say you don't know, like, what did you just say? Like, you're leading it. Maybe doesn't always feel that way for a lot of the people I speak to. And it hasn't always felt that way for me. Right. Like you're trying to consult other experts and let them make the decision. And, you know, like, oh, you must know, because, and it's like, you find out, no, they're guessing. Jack, wait a minute. If I just think really hard through all these things, I can solve this problem. You were just telling me about a story like that. Right. But if it's being a boss is about holding yourself accountable and then being really resourceful and solving problems constantly. I mean, you're a fireman. You get out the fire hose, put on your fire hand, just start spraying shit down, right?
If it's on fire.
Right, but, you know, metaphorically speaking, that can be what the job of a leader is, and often, you know.
Yeah, you got to put out spots all the time.
So dealing with and challenging that imposter syndrome that we're talking about, where you actually start feeling like the boss, thinking of yourself like the boss, and we do all kinds of exercises and give you homework and action items, right, to go work on, like, your identity as a boss, as a husband, as a father, as, you know, fire captain, as all the different roles that you play, but where you're, how, what you think of self and why you do what you do, and it as a motivator and as an anchor for getting up in the morning and doing your morning routine, for following through on the action items that you wrote down on the fucking piece of paper that you don't want to do that day because you're exhausted, because you worked all night. You know, I'm thinking of you now, right?
So
to find the intestinal fortitude that is required to push through fatigue and loneliness and imposter syndrome does require a lot of energy, but it also requires support.
Right. And that's so exactly why, you know, just back to the whole point of the podcast is, right, hey, there's folks out here that can support these types of, you know, like experiences or emotions or whatever you're doing in your career, in your side hustle, or in your relationship, you know, that kind of relate.
Well, that self-awareness that we've been talking about is knowing what you don't know. It's going back to where you started this, knowing you need to ask for help.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're inside it, right? And having the confidence, because it does take confidence, to ask for support. I can't build a website.
Somebody can, right? Though.
I can't. There's all kinds of things I don't know how to do, don't want to do, can't, right? Don't have the time to do, right? So many things. That's being the boss. Like knowing where to put your time, energy, and attention to make the things happen.
Yeah. So recently, another recent experience here, a little bit about our facility. It's about 1 acre lot. It's
awesome. Can't wait for you all to see this place. You got a guy here who, have you told him about the tables? I mean, just the tables alone.
Well, there's some stuff out there. We put some effort into this place. We really want it to look nice. We really want it to...
It's inviting. It's
warm. To enjoy your time here and you know, share and learn a little bit about each other while we're here. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like enjoy a beer. Like, just
I don't think this is like your typical brewery, because I've been to breweries. It's not like a typical brewery. Go on, tell your story.
So on the acre lot, there's going to be roughly 50 parking spots. And in that area, there is a significant amount of, foliage, landscape. You know what I mean? That needs to be replaced and maintained and, just the care of that area. You know what I mean? And it in the front of our building, there's quite a bit. There's like almost 6,000 square feet of lawn. And then there's going to be some big box trees. And so there's quite a bit. So I'm out here mowing the lawn. So, by the way, my neighborhood showed up on like a Friday morning and laid down all this sod. Like we did it. It was incredible effort by the people in our neighborhood here and the locals in Fillmore. And so we get out there, we lay down the sod. A couple weeks later, the stuff starts growing, right? Obviously, we did all, appropriate prep and came out great. So now the lawn's growing and it's summertime. This shit's growing like I got to mow it every week. And I'm out here with my little Ryobi battery powered lawnmower. I'm dumping this bag like 15 times.
Well, you're also a doer, right? And I don't want to like stereotype. That would be like negative. I don't want to like mischaracterize firefighters, but a firefighter's house is, to my experience, well maintained. The firehouse is well maintained. The trucks are well maintained. The personal cars and trucks are well maintained. Things are kept in good order. So you're as a doer, you're not going to just let your foliage go.
No. It's
and you're
be
a
nice.
Doer. You like to do things.
So the problem is that, though.
Yes, that's why I keep saying it. You're a doer. You like to do like things. I know where this is going.
It's good and bad. You know?
I'm anticipating.
Yeah. So I.
You
yeah,
do I'm, it. Don't I'm you? Running. You did it.
What's that?
You mowed the lawn.
Oh, for months.
How for months? I was gonna say for how long?
Yeah. And now I'm underwater again. I got that perspective lens.
In 100 degree heat.
I'm like, okay. Looking back on some things I've learned recently, maybe I need to ask for help.
Yeah.
Anyways, we reach out. And now we have the lot basically being planted and maintained all at the same time, and everything's going to work out just great. And I get out there still and get to, get my mow on. Or
if you
hit
feel like mowing, you can.
Well, if I'm off or something, yeah. I come over and help. Sure. And it's fun. I still like it.
So what is being a boss in that instance?
Well, knowing what I needed to ask for, like mm-hmm. specifically, and then
self-awareness,
getting it and then asking a couple people, making sure that, it's accurate, whatever the bid is or whatever.
So mindset and then communication. Got it.
And then working out and doing, handling some details and payment, et cetera. And pressing the button, go.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let me ask you a couple questions. Okay. Because the more challenging things that you faced across this journey is like permitting. City stuff, right? It's like everyone who's trying to start a business, open anything in a physical space knows what that's like, right? That's not an indictment or a criticism of the city. That's just like, there's always things.
Well, they have to be involved.
Yeah.
And
you have architects and you've got things that go wrong. It's like a game of telephone always of getting this plan approved, right?
Yeah.
It takes time and it always takes, longer, more money, et cetera. And so what have you been doing to manage? I'm turning to tables on you here on your podcast. What have you been doing to manage yourself to keep your mind right so that you can communicate and behave in ways that get you to your goal?
What have I been doing to keep my mind right?
Yeah. How do you keep yourself like on point right now?
Well, organizational skills.
Okay.
And time management. I think that might be like combined a little bit, but
like that's what gives you security.
Yeah.
That's what
if I know when and if something's happening, I'm good. I feel I'd stop thinking about it. You know what I mean? It's off my mind.
So when and if, and I'm going to add one to that.
Yeah.
We've identified in coaching that a sense of progress daily is important to you and measuring a sense of progress daily. As it is for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Like we get esteem. We get feel. You just said, I feel in so many words, safe and comfortable. I can sleep at night.
Oh, I have not slept at night over this project.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying, man. If this stuff is happening to you, which there's going to be a day where it happens, don't let it go unnoticed.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta move. You have to make a movement and pivot so that, you know, you're now again in like that advantage place. You're not at the disadvantage because stuff that could go a little wrong is going to go a lot wrong. You know, you're not going to be thinking clearly, or you're not going to.
So you know, getting your ideas out on paper, time management, being able to measure and see a sense of progress each day.
Yeah, I like check-ins. Like, hey, where are we at with this? Oh, we're, you know, where we said we were going to be.
You started exercising again more.
Like yeah.
A whole lot more.
I lost, yeah. A little bit of the daily routine or a routine that you know you do and you're going to get your mind in the right spot or zeroed out or whatever.
Nope.
So, like, things Todd would talk about early, we started implementing and
journaling gratitude and appreciations.
I have a gratitude journal. Thanks for bringing that up with everybody.
You know, I'm just appreciate saying that. I'm just saying, like, these are the things, and here's why I'm bringing it all up is like being vulnerable is a huge part of being an excellent leader in my eyes, right? Like being able to be kind and compassionate, but have high expectations and be direct. And, you know, taking a page out of Brene Brown's, you know, book, being clear is kind.
Dare to lead?
Well, clear is kind. Clear. She's talked about it in her book. Yeah. Well, she's talked about it in a whole.
I'm reading it right now.
There you go.
Right now.
Fantastic. Right. You start feeding and, you know, feed your mind with some good stuff, get new ideas. Cause there's an inordinate amount of great thinkers on these topics out there. Right. Like, and it's there. So it's like when I talk about morning routine or practice, it's like, what are you feeding your mind? The fact that you, it's another thing, gratitude journal, feeding your mind with things that help you as a leader, both at the firehouse here at Red Engine Brewing, as you deal with the city, as you lead the whole team, as you do hiring, right? All of that is not stuff you have to do. To go back to something you were talking about earlier, it's something you do because you want to do it. And being the only person in an entrepreneurial journey, being the only person focused on and doing it can be lonely and makes you question whether or not you're taking the right steps. So when you have someone to think it through, to bounce it off of, and then ultimately have action items that you go make the decision on, because that's what happens, right? You end up at your goal. Like, look, you're right here.
And nothing like, I get so amped on progress, dude. I mean, like, anything forward, I'm like, everything's good.
Yep.
We're good. Yep. Even a couple neutrals, like no moves, I'm like, all right, we could be here for a minute. We can push.
Yep.
Backward steps, I'm like, everybody freak the fuck out. There's a problem. Like, this is not going to work.
How much better, because this is about knowing yourself, how much better do you know yourself in the last, like, say, year of just, like, this journey? Like,
yeah,
it's an unfolding of self.
I would say that the things that I'm bad at, I'm still pretty bad at them, and they're amplified.
Yeah.
Okay, you were kind of bad at, taking constructive criticism. Now you're you're awful at it, man. Like, let's just say that was my weakness.
Let's just say it was.
Asking for a friend. But that's kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I know exactly what you mean.
The decisions and the contracts and the things that you negotiate now, you got to eat them.
Yeah.
You if they're bad or if they're not done.
It's you.
It's you're going to pay for it.
Okay. That's, I'm going to come back to that point of liberation, right? Like, right. It's on you, and that's what's terrifying. It's why the imposter syndrome probably exists, right? I'm speculating there. It's not based on research or anything. I'm just like, you know, there's something in all of that that makes us hesitate. And when ultimately we start to realize, I was saying it to a couple clients this week even, I was like, you know, how many, these big leaders, right? Like big organizations. I'm like, how many CEOs fail and get fired every year? Or every few.
Well, probably a lot.
Yeah, a lot. A lot. And then they get hired.
Again.
They play musical chairs. They get hired by someone else, right? Like, there's what I realized early in my career, like music, which is my background, right, and music business and all of that, was that, like, and this is no disrespect to the gentlemen that were running the whole thing. It's like a lot of people, they had an idea of what they were doing, but they were also guessing a lot of the time,
Yeah.
Like a lot of the time. It was educated guessing. And all sure. you entrepreneurs out there who are super successful know what the fuck I'm talking about. You're like, well, I think we could do this.
Yeah. And I like, think I could afford that.
Yeah, I think. And then it's like, that was a mistake. Right? You know, we saw that, you know, guy crying a couple weeks ago, big viral social media thing. I have to fire my employees. I have to fire, you know, 10 people. And he was crying and took a little crap for it because, like, he made a bad decision and now he keeps his job, but his employee, you know, and he felt bad. He had to fire. So it's like, it doesn't go lightly. But the point is, like, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to all of this and managing yourself through it, making good decisions when you're emotional.
That's the key.
Communicating well under pressure, having difficult conversations with partners,
yourself
or staff, and especially yeah. yourself.
Yeah.
All necessary.
Yeah. One of the things that Todd, or they'll reference a question in his podcast. And, as I was listening to that, I was like, I need a question when I start having trouble that I ask myself.
Oh, like what do we, what, like as a tool, what do I ask her? Which episode were you listening to? You talking about like just.
Well, every episode.
Oh, however.
You talk about a question with
yeah.
somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's based on question.
Yeah. yeah. So my, when I was having a doubt or, you know, questioning whether I could accomplish something or build something or whatever, a business plan, if I, yeah. I would ask myself the same question and it was, why not me?
Yeah.
Like, why not me?
Yeah.
And then I would have to come up with a couple reasons and you can't lie to yourself too much.
Yeah.
You're like, you're not tenacious enough or something like that, which clearly I just wake up in the morning and ask for beatings and take them like with a smile on my face and like do it again the next day, right? Like
you have ideas and you're ambitious.
Yeah, so that's not you. So you're like, okay, well, that's not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
What else? Right. And then it was why not me? And that's the question I would always ask myself when I came to like things I didn't know how to do yet and I couldn't. And then I was a little prideful in that I didn't want anyone to see. I said I would do it. So I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out how to do it. I don't need to know everything right now, but I won't fail.
Preston.
Is the podcast just end?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, the vulnerability, because, you know, I was saying this a little earlier, the vulnerability of like all the things you're saying
mm-hmm.
are things. And I was talking about like that's required for leadership. That's why you're winning, because you continue to challenge those parts of you that, you know, let's say, you could say need improvement, could be better, right? And it's not that in certain respects those aren't awesome, right? But in other places, they don't work well for us. And so
right.
figuring out unto us, which is what we do in coaching, it's what we do in lots in professional development, it's why executives ultimately, you know, most restages in life where they need mentorship and coaching and things of that nature, which is a great thing,
mm-hmm.
Is that vulnerability is what's required to connect with people and then to lead them to the vision, right? To like have them trust you, to feel safe. But understanding and hacking ourselves as to what we need, what Preston needs, what Todd needs, what we need individually to be at our best so that we can show up, as I always say, in service to others, like I'm in service to my family. I'm in service to my
servant leadership.
Yeah,
kinda,
servant, yeah. exactly.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we have a podcast, you know, an episode on. It's like if I show up with that mindset and I then communicate in that fashion, it's far different than if I were like my people are there to serve me or right. Or like I said,
that's not going to go over great with everybody.
The way you communicate. Mindset and communication, right? The way you communicate when you're in gratitude or in appreciation versus stress or fear or insecurity, right? Or resentment. If we're talking about partners, right?
Yeah, that's a bad one. You got to get over it. Yeah.
Yeah, but we also resent employees. We resent colleagues. We resent bosses. Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it happens every day all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the work you've put in shows in for all of us, which is what we're all afraid of, And I said was the most liberating thing. The work we, you're ultimately on the hook for whether or not the thing happens. You said it to me. You said, it's all on me as to whether this thing wins or fails. I said, right. What a great thing. Cause you don't fucking fail. And you went, right. It's like, so, and if I have in the past, I'm going to figure out and problem solve as to what the things are to make me successful for this one now, which is what entrepreneurs also do. That's being self-aware, resourceful, problem solving, and just keep going on that.
Yeah. And that's something like, you know, I getting one of the, like in the fire service, like getting hired is like one of the first, like just getting hired is a task. You know what I mean? For anyone who's done it or, but the thing is if you ask all the guys that got hired or the guys and gals, how the people that have gotten hired, be like, how many tests did it take mm-hmm. for you to get hired? And I always say 10 because mm-hmm. I think I was pretty close to 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and it could be more, right? Or less, you know, you get people that squeak through the filter on either side, you know?
Sure.
But I go, I tell new guys all the time, I'm like, hey man, 10 tests. So just hurry up and get the first 10 out of the way. This year, test 9 times.
Yeah.
You won't even know it, but every time you're getting closer to that hireable, desirable employee. And, you know, you'll get feedback along the way and you'll change things and you'll add to your resume, et cetera, et cetera. And guess what? The only people that don't get hired are the ones that stop trying. Right. It's like, how many tests do you take? 3? That's it?
Right.
You got to take 10.
You were 30% of the way there.
You were nowhere close the effort or time.
Yeah.
You just had to keep at it. But again, the people who don't.
Man, there's a great book. It's 3 Feet from Gold. Oh, man. Who's the author? 3 Feet from Gold. I'm going to draw a blank on his name. 3 Feet from Gold. 3 Feet from Gold. Is it Carnegie? I can't remember the author's name. 3 Feet from Gold. Uh-huh. Might be Carnegie. And is all about the gold rush, right? Or a metaphor, 3 Feet from Gold. But there was a story in there about the gold rush and like how there was the biggest vein of gold ever discovered. The team that was mining and looking for it gave up. They knew it was there. And they gave up 3 feet from the vein. And if they had dug 3 more feet, they would have been the richest fucking people on the planet. But someone came in behind them. Well, I'll start digging. And rated like 3 feet into it was like, holy shit. Like, but that don't stop. And so I don't know, man. I'm really excited. The brewery is almost there. You're gonna open, you know, soon. I don't know when this podcast is coming out in relation to it, but you're almost there. You're traversing those final hurdles.
Yeah, I think we're right at the point where we complete permitting, all city permitting, and construction's gonna be going, and that should only take, well, I don't know. We won't say how long it should take, but it's not supposed to take as long as other processes. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And I invite everybody obviously out here to Fillmore. Todd, how can people get a hold of you if they're looking for some help?
Oh, yeah. It's todd@themindsetstudio.com. That's my email. And themindsetstudio.com is our website. Love to check us out.
All right. Well, hey, listen.
Proud of you, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Had fun recording this conversation. We've had obviously millions, so yeah. This was fun.
Takes me back to the days of rollerblading around town.
It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a minute. But as always, thank you for making it this far. Next episode is going to be with Julie Rhodes of Not Your Hobby Marketing. That's going to be episode 11. We'll catch you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Bye. If you have any questions that were not answered during the show, feel free to email built@redenginebrewing.com. That's built@redenginebrewing.com. If you'd like to hear more content, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Built and Brewed is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, pack those mash tuns and make it rain in the whirlpool. That's Built and Brewed.